The Gospel of Luke and the Book of Acts were written by a physician, and he wrote it in a two-step medical education pattern. Now, when I went into nursing, I had to have nursing education, and it was a two-step process. First, the lecture hall, and then the laboratory. First, the principles, absorb the principles, and then apply those principles in what's called a practicum. And so the nursing instructor would first teach the nursing precepts and then would become a preceptor who would coach students in hands-on procedures in order to learn how to do these things and put these precepts into practice. During this preceptorship program, students had to do two things. They had to remain open to input from the preceptor while involved in output from themselves in the hospital context. So in the Gospels, in Luke especially, Jesus teaches us about the kingdom, but then in the book of Acts, he becomes the preceptor, guiding us in sharing the kingdom's good news with the lost. The verse that was read at the beginning of the meeting today is Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And it is sort of like the theme of the whole book. It's about witnessing. And it really talks about this input and output process, but it really talks more about the output, because it talks about, here's what it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So there's the input part from the Holy Spirit, but then there's also the output part of the witnesses. This verse is, I guess you'd say it's more expounded a little bit more in one of the verses in our passage that was read for our scripture reading, which is Acts 22, verses 12 through 22. And this verse 15 is, it describes this open to input part of our preceptorship, where we have to remain open to input. It says this, you will be his witness. Okay, there's the output. You will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. Of what you have seen and heard. Now, that's the input. Witnessing is telling others what we experience from Jesus, our instructor and our preceptor. Now, Paul's testimony here, or this part of his testimony, can actually, just by looking at it, can help us a little bit with our testimony. The testimony of our witnesses is what I entitled this message, the testimony of our witness. Number one, Paul had an eye-opening encounter with Jesus. That's the first point. Paul went blind when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And we have to ask the question, what was God's purpose in that? Was Christ's bright light, that's what he saw, was a bright light, was Christ's bright light graciously exposing Paul's true blindness? Is that what really was happening there? Because basically, it was probably a really big thing he would never forget, an object lesson he would never forget. Paul had boasted of clear religious sight. He was ready to go and take on those Christians and put them in prison, beat them, have them flogged and put in prison, or even killed, as Stephen was killed. So he boasted of his clear religious sight until he met Jesus. And Jesus had said this in Matthew 6:23, "But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" Paul did not understand that he needed to see properly. He was blind. He wouldn't admit that. He wouldn't admit anything about being blind. But later on, he testified of not seeing straight until a man he came to persecute had prayed for him. That was Ananias. Ananias, it says, he stood beside me and said, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very moment, I was able to see him. In pride, we hesitate to admit I was blind or I am blind. I was blind until what? Until I encountered the light of Christ. And then this experience happens. And this is what really happens when we get into the bright light of Christ. And our pride might have said, oh, I'm seeing right. I'm seeing good. I have no problem. Those things out in the world, they don't bother me. You know, I'm doing great. Of course, I did have an upset time with these relatives lately and said some words I shouldn't have said. You know, those kinds of things are something we just sort of brush under the rug. But I'm still a good person. Oh, yeah, I'm a good person. But here's what it says in Psalm 90, verse 8. And this is the experience when we get into Christ's light. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. Now there's no more excuses. In the light of his countenance, when God is looking at our iniquities, our secret sins, in his light, there are no more excuses. Pride or religious boasting has no place among the fellowship of the forgiven. And that's for two reasons why. They're both in Romans 3:23 and 24. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is none that are righteous, no, not one. We look at that verse and we say, hey, everybody's condemned. Yes, everybody. The righteous and the unrighteous. Those who are righteous are still sinners. They do fall short of the glory of God in many ways. And then the next verse, and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. That's everybody. Everybody who's a Christian was fallen, had lost the glory of God, fallen short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Justified freely by grace, not by works, not by something, our status or what we've achieved. No, what Christ did on the cross. Now, people get used to secondhand stories. They get so used to secondhand stories and passed on rumors and social media gossip that they may ignore us when we declare the gospel truth right out of God's word. But you see, that declaration is preaching. It's not witnessing. A witness gives a first-hand testimony. When we give the gospel, and we should give the gospel, we should tell what the Bible says. You know, maybe the truth can change some people's hearts sometimes. But what people are listening for is, how did this work on us? What's our first-hand testimony? Perry Mason calls David Hatton to the witness stand. Where were you on the night you got saved? I was at church. Tell us in your own words what happened. Well, I saw myself before Christ's cross like a hell-bound convict chained to a ball of sins. Jesus offered to justify me freely by his grace through his death on the cross if I received him. So I did. He took away my guilt and replaced it with his peace. Do you know the whereabouts of this Jesus? Yes, he's been living in my heart ever since. You see, witnessing is telling others what we experience from Jesus. But our first encounter with Christ, that's not our only testimony. Paul had an ongoing vital communion with Jesus. Anyone reading the book of Acts or the epistles of Paul learned this to be the case. But Paul, included the prediction of his ongoing relationship with Jesus in his verbal testimony. We see this in verse 14 and 15. Then he, Ananias, said, "The God of our fathers has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one, and to hear words from his mouth. You will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. Now this wasn't a promise for more Bible facts, more Bible information, or knowing how to state the letter better, you know. He wanted to teach this. You will know me better. You will know me better. The Christian life is called a walk, because that's what Jesus does. He walks with us through this life every day, every hour. We need special times of focused attention, like worship services, devotional reading, prayer times, Christian fellowship especially, where we can share these things. But Jesus is with us, walking with us 24/7, wanting us ready 24/7 to know His will, to see Him moving, to hear words from His mouth, and to tell others what we have seen and heard. Jesus gave the Holy Spirit to comfort and to counsel us, but He also gave the Holy Spirit to empower us to be witnesses of the Jesus we walk with. We can trust the Holy Spirit. He will remind us when we're in a situation where we're going to share our faith, our testimony. He will remind us what it is in our encounter with Jesus, what it is in our walk with Him that we should be sharing with that person. Now, Paul was led to share his testimony in a very Jewish way to a very Jewish crowd on this occasion. He shared this testimony again at a different time, and he also it had been recorded. So he had shared it before, and it was recorded by Luke earlier. But it was shared in a different way. This was a very Jewish way that would appeal to a Jewish audience. But Paul had no control over the outcome of his testimony. Now, he felt sure that his way of testifying would succeed. In fact, I'll just read these verses again in 17 through 20. When I returned to Jerusalem and was praying at the temple, I fell into a trance and saw the Lord speaking. Quick, he said to me, leave Jerusalem immediately, because they will not accept your testimony about me. Lord, I replied, these men know that I went from one synagogue to another to imprison and beat those who believe in you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I stood there giving my approval and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. Now, surely, Paul probably thought, that's going to convince them. But to witness faithfully, Paul had to tell them what he experienced from Jesus, and he wasn't finished. And he said, verse 21, then the Lord said to me, go, I will send you far away to the Gentiles. Uh-oh. Now verse 22, the Lord listened to Paul. No, the crowd listened to Paul until he said this. Then they raised their voices and shouted, rid the earth of him. He is not fit to live. I've been reading a book lately about the testimony of a young girl who was blown up, actually, in a bomb explosion in her church. A Muslim girl converted to Christianity, and their church was targeted by some Muslim radicals, and they blew up that church. And the second bomb that went off blew this girl against the wall, and actually she had a near-death experience, and Jesus sent her back and said, your work's not done, you still need to witness for me. You know, when you read that kind of stuff, you said, this is what they say. These Muslims say, infidels, rid the earth of them. They're not fit to live. That's what they say. That's what Paul had been saying. And he had changed. Well, some think that it would have been better for Paul to leave out that part. He would be more successful by not sharing that little bit about having to go to the Gentiles. Oh, they did not like the Gentiles. But he had no choice. That was his testimony. And God used his faithful testimony as his ticket to go to greater service for him in Rome. And that's why we have some of these epistles from Paul that were written in prison when he was in Rome. Witnessing is telling others what we experience from Jesus. And none of us are in charge of how God will use our testimony of what we have seen and heard from our encounter and our walk with Jesus. What we are in charge of is staying in tune with Him every day, all day long. And we're also in charge of keeping ourselves at His disposal to tell others what we've experienced from staying in tune with Him. Let's pray. Lord God, help us to see in Paul's testimony that he was sharing what he had received from you, what he had experienced from you. Lord, we want to stay in tune so that we will be able to experience your presence, your will, your word in our life, your word from your lips to us, Jesus, what you want us to do, what you want us to say, what you want us to see in your word is while we're studying it or here in the sermon, and just be attuned to you so that, Lord, when you get us into the situation, you can remind us, or the Holy Spirit can remind us as he empowers us to share what we've learned from you with others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.